Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Eliza. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I feel like the temptation is always to answer this question with places that you've lived. So I'm going to avoid that. Like, even though I really want to tell you like where I grew up and like where I live next. Obviously I'm a writer. I'm like the type of writer that I get like super duper obsessive about things and tend to like focus on that to the exclusion of everything else. So I'm trying to work on that. And when I'm not writing, I'm really into like horseback riding, like I like overlanding, like traveling, you know, like road trips, all that kind of stuff. And I have a dog who I'm obsessed with. So yeah, that's pretty much me, man. I'm like a workaholic, but I also like to have fun sometimes.
I like this so much. So let's talk about the writing process. What inspired you to become a writer?
I would say like most writers, I just like read a ton as a kid. Like I'd like go to the library and I would get like, you know, like 10 books and I would just sit and read like one after the other. And like growing up, I think books kind of like mess you up for the world a little bit because they introduce you to these like amazing friendships and these romances and all these kind of things that you think you're going to find in real life and you're looking for them. And I think like eventually I just sort of realized that like, okay, yeah, you get little pieces of like that in real life too, but like the place that you find those kind of relationships is in books. So like, why not like get involved in like actually creating them? And I feel like that's like where you can find that world that you're looking for, that you're kind of, you know, you almost become like spoiled for the real world. You know what I mean? So I think that was like when I had that realization that I was like, okay, I'm not going to get everything I want in this world, but I can like create a world where that's possible, you know?
Yeah, I love that idea because it's true. Like we get an overall picture, like we get a whole, all the things that we want in reading the book, and then we not get that in real life. So yeah, that's a good distinction to make. So awesome. So what was your journey to get that first book published? Is it appears your debut, right? Or
it's actually not my debut.
Okay.
But I kind of feel like it's kind of more interesting, I guess, how I got to If I Disappear. So I might just talk about that one. My first book that I sold was actually a YA book. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I kind of did that, I think, the typical way. I just researched like crazy on the internet. But what happened after I got that first book deal, my husband actually passed away like right after.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So it was just like this whole thing of like, you know, you're at like your highest high and then you're like at your lowest low, you know? And so for years after, I really struggled with writing, you know, and I was trying to push myself and, you know, really wanting to like keep that momentum going and like, you know, get like more and more books, but it just wasn't working. You know, like my brain just like wasn't in the right place for it. So I turned to this, there's this book that's called like The Artist's Way. Mm-hmm. And it's like a book that's sort of supposed to help you if you kind of get stuck and like inspire you. So I thought, okay, I'll do this, like, you know, and kind of like see if that helps me to like fix whatever's not working about what I'm actually doing right now. Mm-hmm. And so I'm doing this book and like, I was not getting the answer that I was expecting. Like instead of being inspired to write, like the kind of like sort of message that I was getting from the book was that I needed to stop writing. And I needed to like go back to like, I guess, go back to like things that I loved and like did when I was a kid, like try to like find myself again. Because mm-hmm. when you lose someone that is so close to you, mm-hmm. it's like you kind of lose yourself too. Like you lose your whole life. And I didn't know who I was anymore. And I was so like sort of lost. So I parted ways with my agent. Like, I was like, I'm not going to write anymore. Like, I went and I worked at a dude ranch in Northern California. And that actually ended up being the setting for this book. Like, I didn't obviously know it at the time, but it was like just through, I think, like stepping back, I was able to, like, you know, get like that kind of new perspective, like find myself again, and then actually be able to create a story that had like a meaning. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was a wild
journey. So thank you so much for sharing, because that's like a powerful journey. And I've done The Artist Way. And it's like, it's one of those things where you're like, you have an idea when you start, and then you realize like, it's like completely different.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, I totally recommend it to anyone, because it's just like, it's so much more than, it's about so much more than writing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And you can do it for other things. You don't need to be a writer to The Artist.
Oh, right? Yeah, exactly. I mean, to be honest, when I was doing it, I was pissed like at first, because you're like resisting it. I'm like, no, I'm like, I want to like, you know, I want to like sell another book. Like, I want to have a career. And it's like, that's not what I was getting. And I'm like, I'm glad that I was open enough to say, okay, I need to like follow this, like, you know, journey, and not be trying to force something that wasn't authentic, you know?
Yeah. Fascinating. So let's start with the writing process. Do you follow an outline, or do you see what the story leads? Harry Potter or Cancer?
Yeah, this, I feel like this is the like eternal question. And I always go like back and forth on this. Cause like, I think the more that I'm getting into like being a professional writer and like having deadlines and having like multiple projects, the more that I'm realizing that I need to outline. And I used to just do general, and I'm like, I need to do like a specific outline. I need to make sure that every scene is like, has like an intention, has action, has like a want, because like my propensity is just to have people sitting around and like talking philosophy, you know? So I think that I'm like more learning that I need to do that, but it's still so, it's so difficult, because like the hard thing about outline is that you're like, you have nothing, and you're like supposed to just create this whole story. I don't know the characters. I don't know anything. So I'm definitely like just trying to figure that one out still. I'm like, not sure. I think that it's important to outline, but also be open. And I guess like there's, at the end of the day, there's just like no easy solution, because every book is different. And all of my books take multiple like rewrites, like straight up rewrite the whole book. Like I don't, and I'm always trying to find this like magic, you know, solution that's going to make it easy. And maybe that just doesn't exist.
So let's talk about characters. Do they come to you? How do you develop the characters?
Okay, so I feel like, I don't know if other people just don't admit this, but like I do actually get a lot of my characters like from real people. And like even to the point, like in this book, like there's this character named Jed, and he is in the book, his name's Jed, he's from West Texas, like he's from the city called Abilene, he worked in oil rigs, and he's like based on a real person whose name is Jed, who's from West Texas, who like in Abilene on oil rigs. And like I told him, like I was like, I'm gonna like use you, because I think like you're really, you know, you have like a cool name, you have like a cool backstory, I'm like, this works, you know, perfectly, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I mean, usually it's not like to that extent where it's literally like, I'm just borrowing. I mean, the character is completely different than the real person. Mm-hmm. But like, I will always try to have like, either like, you know, a comment someone makes, or like just a germ of like an idea of like something that someone, like a real person does. And I feel like that for me, it like makes them feel more real than if I was just trying to create, you know, the sort of perfect person. You know?
Yeah, I love this. And so let's talk about, because you wrote a thriller, like, or, you know, a mystery slash thriller, and you start with YA. What made you jump into this story? What was the source of inspiration?
Oh, this story specifically? Okay, so for this story, there's three different things that I kind of like combined that sort of made this story. And the first thing was the setting. And that came from, I actually worked at a dude ranch it was by this town called Happy Camp in Northern California. And it's super isolated. And I had like the craziest experience there. Like it was like, you know, cause it's real. It was kind of like crazier than the book. And like, while it was happening, I was just like, cause when you're in such isolation, like you're so in, like the people around you, like have this super importance on like, I guess like your mental state. And it was just like this, like experiment in like group paranoia. Like it was just wild. And it actually like became dangerous. Like I had to leave after like 6 weeks. But I was like, dude, this is like a cool setting for a story. Cause I was like, you know, I didn't even realize that places that remote, like even existed, you know? Mm-hmm. So I took that setting. And then I also, you know, like I told you, my husband like passed away like 5 years ago. And so I had been living with him in London for like, so I was living in London for like 10 years. So I moved back to America for the first time. I was like single again for the first time, you know, like in like 10 years. And so it was like that whole experience of like being like a single woman again and realizing how men treat you, you know, or mistreat you, I guess I should say. Like I tried to do like a lot of online dating because I didn't know anybody, you know, like I was new to like the country.
Yeah.
And I was like shocked and like appalled by how men treat women on apps. And like to go from like a relationship where you have someone who treats you like a human being, and then you're like, you know, the way that men like disrespect women and the way that you feel as a woman in America, if you're single or even as you get older. And I just wanted to talk about that because I think that like so many of my single friends feel this way and nobody sort of really like addresses it, I guess. And it was really important to me just to talk about that. And then obviously I sort of combined that with the whole true crime hook, because I think that that's another way to look at how women are treated and perceived by society, especially in America.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the true crime, you know, you incorporate podcasts. And so what was the research like to get the whole podcasting true crime, you know?
I mean, I like a lot of it was, I think it was like, I guess it's the word organic. Like after my husband died, it's weird because I think grief really like replicates true crime in a way, because you're constantly going over events to figure out like how, like what happened, like who, sort of like almost like who's to blame. Cause I think you always sort of blame yourself. So you're like, okay, this happened. They went there, then they did this. And like true crime is like that. It's like, you go like, okay, they start here and they left this behind. There's a little evidence, you know? And I think the thing that is comforting about true crime, if you've dealt with like real tragedy, is that unlike in life, it, you know, when you're watching one of those shows, you know, it's coming, you know what I mean? So you feel like a certain degree of control over the situation. And the idea also that you can put together evidence and solve something that really like death is so unsolvable, you know what I mean? So that was like something that was like already sort of organic to me, because I had become like really into like Dateline, like Crime Junkie, like My Favorite Murder, you know, all those kind of shows, because I would find them, like I would listen to them to like go to sleep at night, because it was just like weirdly comforting, you know?
Yes, it is. It is a weirdly comforting habit. So what are some of your upcoming projects? What can we expect from you next?
This is one cool thing. Yeah. Is that, you know, at least like, you never know what's going to happen in Hollywood, but I am actually like working on the script for a TV show that's based in If I Disappear. So I'm doing that now, which is like total dream come true. So that's been really amazing. But then I have a contract for another book with Berkeley. Mm-hmm. And this one is like about like the rich poor divide. And it's another thing that I have like sort of like a lot of personal experience with, because when I was living in London with my husband, like we were living like below the poverty line. So I have like a lot of experiences that I am putting into this book. And then like, I've been around super wealthy people and I'm just using all of their terrible, terrible ways to create some entertainment for, you know, whoever will read it.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. And congratulations on the script. That's amazing.
Yeah, like I said, we'll see what happens, but it's been like the coolest, just the opportunity to be able to like do something like this and learn. I've learned so much from the people that I'm like blessed to work with. Like that's a total, you know, dream come true for sure.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That's amazing. So now let's go to a random book recommendation. This is an opportunity to share with the audience what they should read next. What is your favorite genre?
That's so hard. I think that really, you know, it really depends. I like, you know, like commercial fiction. I like popular fiction. I love thrillers. I love nonfiction. I think right now is such a great time for like romance or things like that, where it's just like a really like high concept escape. And I love plays. So I can't, it's so hard. Like, that's like okay. A favorite, like, do you have a favorite book?
I don't have a favorite book. I can't choose. I'm the same way. So it is okay. So what has been a book or two that you read this past year or last year that you loved?
I've read like a lot of, let's see. So ones that I've read really recently, like I read, like in talking about romance, I read Beach Read, and that was like such, like that book was like not what I was expecting going in, but I felt like it was actually like so much more than I was expecting. Like I love when an author seems like they really care about the story they're telling, and I felt like that was the case with this book, so I really loved that one. By Emily Henry, right? And then He Started It by Samantha Downing. Like, I love her. And I feel like she is doing like such interesting things with thrillers. Like, she takes so many risks. So I really liked that. And then I read like some books that are like kind of like I read Dare Me by Megan Abbott. I started reading Megan Abbott this year for the first time, and she is amazing and like such a talented, like her work, it's like her books are like epic, you know? I mean, they're amazing. Hell in the Heartland is a really good true crime one by Jax Miller. Like, it's a very kind of like Fargo-esque. I love those kind of like that kind of nonfiction. And of course, I'll Be Gone in the Dark, absolutely amazing. Like Michelle McNamara, which I mean, I know everyone's like aware of, but like what like an amazing and like important book and like just an example of how like, you know, the good people that are involved in the true crime world. And along with that, Chase Darkness With Me by Billy Jensen is also like a really amazing look at true crime and the people that are actually like doing good in that world, which I think is very important and so amazing, because it's like you're facing like the darkest, you know, that's like a real good person to me, you know, because I think it's hard to imagine good people in such a bad world, and that's like the worst you can imagine, and like just like what she did, what Michelle did, is so amazing.
Yes. So. Oh my god. So tell us where you can find you online.
I'm on like everywhere. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm gonna just try it all, see what works. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Like if they invent a new one, I'll probably go on there too, man. I'm like but so yeah, under Eliza Jane Brazier, like follow me, talk to me, whatever. Awesome. I'm
out. Thank you, Eliza, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure talking to you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Once you connect with fellow romance readers and make new friends, get weekly book recommendations, attend monthly meetups, then join our Patreon community. You can join at whatreadnextblog.com/Patreon. Romance lovers, check out Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel. The shop also features social justice apparel and fun items from some of your favorite TV shows like The Schitt's Creek and The Office. Use code WHATTORead10 to save. Visit whatreadnextblog.com/queenbeereads. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Discover new podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.